Mr. Potter. Liam Neeson's as Mary.
Mr. Potter, played by Jeff Goldblum. He'd be like, huh, we need money. Yes, I'm offering you $20,000. Shake my hand. Leave it. Hold it.
We'll call it. We'll call it a tie.
Hold it. Hold it.
Yes.
We're going to go find out about sneakers, and then we're going to find out about jackets and tattoos and all sorts of wonderful things. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Brothers Movie Factory. I'm your host, Ben. With me, as always, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory.
Clarence's left wing.
Clarence's left wing?
Yeah.
I thought you were going to be like George Bailey's good ear.
I'm if George Bailey was...
dead.
Was dead.
You're no one.
Yeah.
You're nothing, but not to me.
You know, that was the original script was good George Bailey. He would run into a bad George Bailey, and they'd have to fight to the death.
Yeah, it was like the Terminator. Sure. Shotguns.
He was the original choice for the T-800, with James Stewart there.
Imagine if Jimmy Stewart was if he was the Terminator, he'd be the ideal pick. He looks like anyone off the street, but goddamn it, he's handsome. And smooth, too. He wouldn't have to kill anyone. He'd just talk them to death.
Be like, look, you're going to die. That's what happened.
Yeah. Like how in It's a Wonderful Life, the movie we watched tonight, when he tucks away old Zuzu's petals, he'd just take their soul, tuck it away.
He just takes their face.
Yeah, he just tucks it away.
Yeah.
Yeah. But with me, as always, Gus, the brother of the Brothers Movie Factory. And indeed, it is a Christmas morn.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas indeed. And what we do on the show here, if you're unfamiliar, if you're just finding some Christmas cheer as you're on a drive maybe, or on a flight home, or just enjoying Christmas with the family, and you're like, listen to these brothers that I've heard so much about. What we do here is we take a movie every week. We then discuss said film, talk about what we liked, talk about what we didn't. We then take to the podcast to imagine what that film would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would star? Who would be the cast and crew involved? It's the same film, just imagining what it would look like today. And then we close her out with a couple questions here and there. So today, Christmas morn, we decided to watch a special Christmas film, a film that I've never seen before that is sacrilege, I suppose, even though the movie doesn't have that much Christmas in it. Edward Scissorhands has more Christmas in it than this
Die
film.
Hard has more Christmas.
Yeah, but we did watch It's a Wonderful Life, my second ever Jimmy Stewart picture, and my first ever watching of It's a Wonderful Life.
And that sentence right there is why you should that's why you should choke yourself.
Look at my life insurance policy.
You do, and then choke yourself. You do a Jimmy Stewart impression on this show each and every week for about over a year now.
Well, it's because of Vertigo.
Yeah, but you haven't seen It's a Wonderful Life? That's bullshit.
I know.
You know, James Stewart regards
That's not funny, Mitch. That's not funny at all.
Yeah, he regards this role as George Bailey as his favorite role he ever played.
That's a lie.
Yeah.
His favorite role he ever played was Jimmy fucking Stewart.
He played
himself.
His favorite role was Wiley Burp. His last role. He liked it so much. He's like, I'm done.
He says, I'm going out and guns are blazing.
I'm going to Europe. I'm going to Baghdad and South America.
Yeah, put stickers all over this briefcase suitcase thing here.
Yeah.
But no, this movie, I didn't know what to expect. I'd only ever seen clips from several different, you know, TV viewings, and I was not sure what would be coming my way. I didn't know. I knew, you know, the basis of the story. I knew that he is troubled for some reason. I was always under the impression that he was, like, an asshole. That's always was my thought. It was like, he was, like, really rude to everyone and, like, something. He just wasn't a happy person.
You were wrong.
I was. Now, he wasn't, not to say that he wasn't a happy person, but he definitely wasn't, he wasn't thankful for all the things he had because he was losing so much. He was losing everything he ever wanted, but he was also gaining things he didn't know he wanted. Mm. So there was a lot of messages in this movie, and it resonated with me very well. I really enjoyed It's a Wonderful Life. And it is almost like a retelling of, not a retelling per se, but it's got a lot of Christmas Carol elements, I felt.
Yeah.
In a sense, like, although it's like, instead of seeing the ghost of Christmas past, you're kind of like, that's
to the end.
Well, no, that's kind of like the first portion of the movie, is like explaining what his past was, and then they go up to like, now we're gonna talk about what happened today, and then it's like the ghost of Christmas present, and then they kind of skip the ghost of future. It's a very interesting thing, and it's something that you it holds a very good message, and I think one that's even more prevalent today in a lot of ways.
Yeah, the message can still hold true. And that's why it touches so many people, because it's about the common man, it's about the man or woman, you know. Anyone who's ever had a dream that didn't come true or had to be set aside or replaced by other things just because life's hand of fate played its hand, indeed, and, you know, things change.
Life's hand of fate played its hand, and indeed.
Indeed it did.
It played its hand and hands.
Hand and hand.
A hand.
You understand.
You understand, Midge?
Well, I go lay by the bay. I can eat some hay. What do you say?
I was watching Witcher today, and that was one of the lines. Like, he was talking to a wizard, and the wizard said something, and it didn't rhyme. He's like, all good prophecies rhyme.
He didn't believe it. That's my prophecy. Yeah. What rhymes with hand? And. And hand.
What rhymes with hand? Hand. Shit, that's good.
Fuck it. Throw it in. And, you know, you have to give up on your aspirations, give up on your dreams, and let life play out the way it does. And George Bailey, he's bitter about these things.
Oh, I mean, I felt for him.
Yeah,
he was just
feels held back.
He was dealt a poor hand in one sense, but dealt a very nice hand in another sense.
Exactly. It's like, like I see this story, and I also see that happen in many lives, my life. As we sit, and you know, even though you may feel unfulfilled, you are fulfilled, and that's where the classic part of this movie is in the finale, the last 30 minutes or so, when he wishes he were never born,
yeah.
And then he gets to see what his life would be like if he never even existed, and all the lives he touched, and all the people he helped, and just the better world that there was just because he simply existed. Even though you might think you're not special, you are.
Yeah, that's kind of resonates with me in a sense, because I feel like that's a lot of people have that kind of feel. It's like, what have I done? Like, what is my good to the world, basically? What do you do? When no one really ever stops to think, like, oh, I've affected this person's life in X amount of ways, right? You know, you see that, and that's why I say, like, this film, coming out in 1946, around a time where I feel like something like suicide, which is a topic in this film, wasn't as prevalently talked about back then. So I feel like the movie in a way is almost ahead of its time, saying like, you know, if you throw this away, you're affecting more than just yourself. And you're also, you know, you have to think about all the people that you've affected throughout your life and everything like that. And that was just kind of interesting to see, like, you're seeing throughout the film him affect all these people's lives, but he's unhappy because his life no one's affecting his life, or so he thinks, really. He's just constantly dealing with everything else. It's every time he's about to do something, mm-hmm. something else happens.
Yep.
He's just dealt a poor hand, but...
poor hand's not even the right word. No. It's just different than
what
he wanted.
Yeah,
it's not what he wanted, yeah.
which is, yeah, it's funny though, because it's like
the tearing tracks.
Well, you watch it and you're like, this is almost comical, like how every single time he's about to do something, like finally fulfill his dream, something else comes up. But then you kind of think about it, you could think like multiple times in your own life, my life, really probably anyone's lives, this happens like legitimately all the time. Like you have it all planned out and then something comes up like right at the worst time. Mm-hmm. And it just happens consistently throughout life. Yeah, because that's... life's unpredictable, and that's kind of how this story goes. It's very, 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 just a really smart movie. I really enjoyed watching it.
The hand of fate's hand. Lays his hand.
Holding its hand with Clarence.
And shows its hand.
Indeed.
And, yeah.
I'm just saying, Pottersville looked like a rockin' time, though.
Yeah. It reminded me of, Pleasure Island from old Pinocchio.
Jesus. Who signed off on that? Like, let's get this place where there's a bunch of children that were stolen and call it Pleasure
Island. Pottersville.
Yeah.
So, yes, your first viewing of this. I typically try to watch this once a year around the old holiday seasons. And we'll dive into why this is a Christmas classic. This movie doesn't have too much to do about Christmas, if it does at all, other than the last 30 minutes, or it's like, yeah, it's Christmas Eve,
yeah,
folks.
It's meaning, though. It's got like a story of friendship and family and all that. And
friendship, family, Christmas miracles, appreciating what you have, and the greatest gift of all, which is life.
Mm.
So, yeah, those messages pair well with Christmas in general. I'll just get right into it. So when this movie came out, it was a bit of a bombsy.
That's why I did know that. I knew this was...
Yeah, it didn't make a lot of money. It wasn't too financially successful, because right around the same time this released, another film released. It was The Best of Times, it was about a soldier coming back from the war. And just dealing with life back home.
The best of times and the worst of times.
Yeah, and the country was just fresh off of World War II.
Yeah.
Fucking Jimmy Stewart came back from the war.
He's a war hero.
Yeah, this is his first film back.
He was Harry Bailey. That was him.
Yeah, right. Movies based on him, true story. Mm. But even the directors and the people behind this movie, they were involved in the war. So they wanted to like band together to create a family picture.
Yeah.
However, the rest of the country, they were all about that Best of Times movie, and it ended up winning Best Picture along with six other Oscars.
Probably wanted to see, you know, what it was like for the families at home and stuff, the people that weren't in the war and everything that were at home and in America. They're probably like, let's go see this film.
Yeah. So when it came out, you know, more people chose to see that and just kind of passed It's a Wonderful Life by. It wasn't until years and years later, during I think it was in the 70s, it was a clerical error. They forgot to renew the rights to the film, so it became public domain.
Mm.
So all kinds of pretty much every TV studio across the country saw It's a Wonderful Life as a free movie around the holiday season. They just threw it out there for free. This is also, you know, before home video,
Netflix.
Yeah. And so they just started playing it all day, every day, whenever they wanted. And it became very successful in that regard. People were watching it and loving its message, and it just had a resurgence. And, it just kind of became a Christmas norm for years and years, until ultimately it got its rights back, and then I think NBC owns the television rights to it now, and they play it like once or twice a year. But it was around that time, like I said, everyone had the right to play it, and then they played it around the Christmas time, so families would get together and enjoy, like we said, the message of this film. And yes, it does. The finale takes place during Christmas, so it was a good pairing, and it's just one of those films that people just associate with the holiday.
Like Star Wars
and Harry Potter.
Yeah.
It
snowed, so it must be Christmas.
That's how I justify any movie.
Like Hateful Eight, Christmas.
The Gray, Christmas.
There's like January movies.
Nation season.
Yeah,
movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
When you're dying.
So
that's what's happening.
This is your first viewing. How did she treat you? How did she make you feel in the old Hartwell?
I enjoyed it a lot because, I mean, like I said, I think a lot of times people don't step back and kind of think of, you know, what do I do for others? You know, how do I affect someone else's life? And I've talked about it before on the podcast that just in a, for a deep moment, I've talked about how, like, you know, I've never really assumed that I was good at anything particular. Like, I was never able to play guitar, or, you know, I'm not like the best at a video game or something like that. Like, there was never a talent that I was very good at. And I remember talking with my one friend, Pork, one night, and he probably doesn't remember this, but I do. Me and him were having that conversation. I was like, you know, you play guitar, and I have other friends that play this or do this, and I don't have anything that I'm in particular good at. And he's like, well, I mean, you're good at talking to people, you're good at being nice to people, you're good at being a friend. And I was like, yeah,
shut up.
Like, stop it. Do you have to play like that? No. And I was like, oh, that's very nice, because that is like a moment that, you know, you don't realize that you might affect other people in a way. On a personal level, I felt that I really enjoyed the message of this movie, just kind of taking a moment to sit back and think about, you know, especially at Christmas time, like, how have you affected others? And what are you doing to help others and things of that nature? I really like that message. It's just like, I think that's, like I said, just, it felt like a real film, like a real event you were watching.
Felt like cinema?
Yes, but I mean, like, the whole, like, every time, like, he's gonna go on his honeymoon and something happens. He's gonna go to college and something happens, and it's all these things, and, like, you know, he gives his little brother his college fund, and his little brother goes on to be very successful, and he's a war hero and all this stuff, and he's just George Bailey at the family business that he never wanted. He's not rich. He's just getting by. He's got four kids. He's got a wife that loves him. But it's like he doesn't register that because he has been living his whole life doing what he didn't want to do.
He had dreams. He had aspirations.
Yeah, and he didn't get to fulfill those because life is a cold bitch. It's very interesting how real the movie feels, like, to the degree that, you know, sometimes you watch a movie and you're like, it's not going to happen. Like, this isn't how things play out. But in that one, and it's wonderful.
This isn't going to go the way you think.
Exactly, Luke. This felt like, you know, this is how life happens a lot of times. It just kind of occurs, and you just have to roll with it. But he's a very selfless man throughout. You see, he's just... That's another thing. Like, you've talked about it before. Like, I try to please everyone. So, like, he was, even then, like, his brother was like, I'm not going to take the job. I won't let you down. I'll let you go live your life. And he told his mom, I think it was his mom he was talking to. Oh, his wife?
Yeah.
He's like, keep him out of Bedford Falls or something like that. Because he was going to not let him stay behind. He was going to take the life that, you know, he never wanted so that his brother could go out and fulfill it. So he's very selfless throughout. He gives away his honeymoon money so his business will succeed, so the people that work for him don't have to do anything, and the others in the town don't have to pay high rent from Mr. Potter, the evil banker.
I thought you were saying the evil bastard.
He is an evil bastard. It's just like things like that. He's very, very uniquely selfless, and I really enjoy that.
It does pay off in the end for him.
Yes, but it's almost like he's been selfless throughout the entire movie for very little to show for it. But at the same time, it's like it never really clicks with him what he's doing almost.
Yeah.
Like, until the end when he realizes that, you know, he's done all this and he's getting rewarded for it because he's helped all these people throughout his life. I enjoy that.
What's the message that the angel Clarence gives to George, which is, no man is a failure who has friends.
Indeed. I was thinking of I don't know why, because this is a much better Christmas movie than Christmas of the Cranks. But there's a line in it where Luther Crank, Tim Allen, Jesus, says, you know, we spent $6,000 on Christmas last year with precious little to show for it. And throughout the film, which it's not a good movie, but throughout the movie, his neighbors are upset with him. People are upset with him because he's canceling Christmas. He's all these things they usually do, donate to charity, buy trees from the Boy Scouts, and put up their frosty decorations for the holiday, like parade or whatever. Like all these things they usually do, they're not doing because they're canceling Christmas. They don't want to spend any money, but it like uniquely touched everyone. You know, the Boy Scouts are upset. The police are upset because they usually give them money for calendars and they, you know, all these things. So they touch more people than they know. But he says at the beginning, like, we spend $6,000 with precious little to show for it, but there is, you know, you just don't know what you're doing. It's Christmas, a holiday season. It's all about giving. It's not about getting. I forget what that's. Oh, it's Family Guy. Christmas is about getting. Yeah. That's what Peter says.
So, first time viewing it. Also, I believe first Donna Reed performance. What did you think of her?
What else would she be in? I might have seen her in some old pictures.
Correct me if I'm wrong. She's in The Bells of St. Mary. That's not her. The Donna Reed here.
Donna Reed.
Remember when we first used to do this show and we were like, no phones, not allowed.
Yeah, but then we were like, we're bad at that. Well, Dallas.
She's known for the Donna Reed show.
Okay.
I don't know. I just thought she was wonderful in this movie. I love her chemistry with Jimmy Stewart. They seem like they probably really should be married. And
Jimmy Stewart seems like that with Kim Novak, too. It's how he is.
Naturally sexy. Naturally.
naturally Jimmy.
The chemistry just flows. Honestly, I haven't seen her in anything else. I'm just so used to seeing her in this movie and you know, just falling in love every time.
She's a beautiful woman. It's very charming. And their relationship throughout is very organic. That's the thing I've noticed about Jimmy Stewart, and I don't know. I mean, like I said, I've only seen two movies. I've seen plenty of clips from other things, but he's so organic. Like he is an everyman. Like the way he acts and stuff, and you don't see that as much anymore, I feel. I don't know what it is, but like he could be a police detective. He could be this, you know, college, this guy who took over the family business and, you know, is just an all-around good guy.
He could be a cowboy.
He's like an everyman. But he's so goddamn good. And it is, like, it feels natural. Like, his relationship with Mary in this movie, Donna Reed's character.
Mary.
I really enjoyed it. And she did a very good job. I was like very confused with their first, like, or not their first, but like when he comes over and she's like on the phone with her boyfriend, and then like I liked that moment. Like I'm like, oh, they're kind of rekindling, like, by being close to each other.
He's just smelling her hair.
But then he gets really angry all of a sudden, and I'm like,
you listen here,
I'm gonna go places. I'm not getting married to you or anyone. And he, like,
oh, Barry.
He lays a kiss on her.
That's good shit.
And he's selling.
That's good.
He's selling
shit.
Yeah.
I like. He's like, who's? And the mother's like, who's down there? It's like, George Bailey. Tell him to get out of here.
Yeah. Why was she so grumpy?
Oh no. She's like, what does he want? She's like, I don't know. What do you want? I was like, I'm trying to get warm. He's making violent love to me, mother. because the guy that she was intended to be with, her, the mother wanted her to be with, that Sam Hee-Haw guy, he was big money. He was going to make some cash.
Yes.
So be with him. He is going to be rich.
That's not always the key to happiness. That's another thing that this movie has, like, an underlying tone, is, like, money isn't everything.
Yeah, Mr. Potter, you're not going to find happiness there. I mean,
he isn't happy. He's a miserable old bastard.
Fuck.
Yeah.
He was based on, like, Ebenezer Scrooge.
Yes, that's what I felt. He almost has, like, a line that's kind of identical when they're talking about, it's at the beginning when George Bailey is a kid, And he goes to, like, see his dad, and he's talking to Mr. Potter. Although, you know, when I saw, like, Mr. Potter again when he's Jimmy Stewart later, I was like, are you still living? I'm like, shouldn't this be your son now?
Just with the same actor.
Yeah. Just in a wheelchair now.
He's in the wheelchair the whole goddamn movie.
Yeah. This is before the de-aging process. Yeah. But, when he goes to see his dad, he says something to his dad, Mr. Bailey, says something to Mr. Potter about how you have no children or something like that. He's like, as if children deserve to be happy or something like that. And that's reminded me of when the people come in and are asking for money in A Christmas Carol for the kids, like for the charity.
Yeah.
And he's like, them and their ukuleles can go wanting. That's Tiny Tim. But
Yes, classic film, great acting, Frank Capra classic. He's known for other classic films such as It Happened One Night.
Which is, we're going to watch that, I've decided.
Mr. Smith Goes to Washington, and
Mr. Smith Goes to Washington is another Jimmy Stewart movie, right?
Yeah, and You Can't Take It With You, which is also a Jimmy Stewart film. So this is their third collaboration together. And Mr. Smith Goes to Washington got James the Oscar.
It Happened One Night is phenomenal. The movie is fantastic. It was funny because I was watching It Happened One Night, in a film class in college, and, the ending is very reminiscent to the ending of Spaceballs. Like,
Planet of the Apes.
Not that part, when, like, she leaves, when she, like, runs away. I was like, huh, this must be where they got it, or, like, got the idea. But, that movie is very, very good.
Yeah, well, maybe,
and really, really funny.
Maybe check it out in old February.
Sure. I really think Frank Capra had a lot of good shots. Some of them, I mean, obviously due to the time, a little jarring. Sometimes it'd be like, click, it'd be like completely different shot.
You're
like, wait a minute.
Cut.
Yeah.
There's a couple of times where someone would have their hands crossed and they're laying their head down. The next shot, like, it like cuts and their hands are just switched. Stuff like that. Or it'd be like just like a shot of people talking and they would jump cut to...
There was one where, like, Mary was, like, looking, like, to her left, and it jump cut, and she was, like, looking up.
Yeah.
I'm like, ah!
Yeah. That came with the time often.
Doesn't matter. It's charm.
Yeah. But you know what I really like, though? There's a couple shots of Donna Reed, especially when, like, they introduced her, and any time she was, like, elated or seeing George, that kind of thing, she would have, like, this glow around her or about her, and it just, like, portrayed like this warmth, and it was almost like a halo kind of thing. And that's another thing, and another element of this movie is like angels and people watching over you, guardian angels, and you kind of forget about that from time to time until the finale, when it's like, hey, we're in angel mode now.
Yeah, we got wings going on.
We got wings and shit.
Well, she even kind of is a guardian angel to him. She swoops in and saves him on multiple occasions.
Oh yeah, when the bank's gonna go down, and
then he's having a rough night.
They offer the fucking their money,
their honeymoon money. But then too, like she sets up like the honeymoon basically in the house, and she fixes up the house. And
I really like that scene too. It's cozy.
Yeah, indeed. So yeah, it's a unique movie. That's the thing, you know, you see it now because there are so many movies out there, but you're hard pressed to find like movies that are as charming or as sentimental as like older films. Because they were just stories that had never been told before, and they told them so well back then. I don't know if it's just a matter of like they had more time, or they had less time to think about things, or is just the actors they had, or what? Because I mean, imagine like, and we're gonna talk about it in a bit, but imagine like a Brad Pitt or like some movie star nowadays playing that, like a big movie star playing that role. Like, it'd be it wouldn't, I don't know if it would have the same charm. We'll talk about that in a little bit here because I want to keep talking about it. But I was like, you'd be hard pressed to find someone like Jimmy Stewart who has this like natural born charisma about him from Indiana, PA, mind
you.
That's
right.
I've been to his museum, and it was awesome.
Highly recommend.
No, I really do. It was really cool, and I had only seen Vertigo at that point, and it was very cool. It's like $9.
After seeing this said film, do you want to check out more James Stewart production or pictures?
Yeah,
rather,
I for sure do. I mean, that's the thing.
Go see Harvey.
You hear about all these like old school actors, right? Like your Jim Stewarts, your James Deans, your Clark Gables,
Cary Grant.
Yeah, and you know, I've only seen one Clark Gable movie, and it happened one night. I've never seen a James Dean movie. I've seen two Jimmy Stewart movies, and there's something about those old school movie stars that resonates, I guess. Like, they have a feel to them, and that happens per decade, per generation. You know, like Bruce Willis, Sylvester Stallone, Arnold Schwarzenegger, they're like iconic for the 80s, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's their, and you think 80s, like, they are. Kind of like a spotlight there, you know, you think of them. So that's the same goes for this. They have like a natural charm to that era. It's like a callback. So you kind of like a time travel with them, which is cool. I really enjoy watching those older movies. Even you said, you're like, this, we have a colored version of this film too. And I'm like, nah, ruin the charm. Shit. We got to watch the black and white version. Mm-hmm.
How disappointed was I when I went on Amazon Prime recently, and old school Little Rascals are on there. Our Gang, you know, 1930s stuff. I click and play, and it's all in color.
Now, hey, Alfalfa was in this.
That's right, an older Alfalfa. Oh shit, what was his name? Alfalfa Switzer. Oh, that's his real name. That's the character's name. Yeah, yeah. You know, what's Alfalfa's
he played
name?
The role
Alfalfa.
So, he played the role so well, he became it.
Yeah. That's part of his tragedy in his life. He couldn't get out of that role. He could never break out. I definitely want to see more Jimmy Stewart stuff. There's a few of his like classic works I haven't seen.
Maybe they'll cast him in new movies since they can do that now.
Yeah, right. But I do. He's one of my favorite actors. He's probably my top five, just because he's so natural and. He does these little nuances.
I don't even know if he's acting. He's just being himself.
He just does these little nuances while he's performing that it's just so unique to him and just makes every performance he's in seem so legit.
It's
real.
Some of the, like the bumbling, like the messing up his words and stuff.
He'll like go to say something and then he'll like pivot real quick and be like, "Oh yeah, I could do that. Why don't we do that?"
Yeah,
you know.
But that makes it. It's almost like he didn't know his lines, but at the same time, it's. It makes it feel real because that is how people talk. People don't talk good. People see.
They don't talk good. What did I say earlier? The hand of fate.
The hand of the hands in the hands. Yeah, that people don't talk. So when he goes like, what if I just went down to the store and then bought you a new window and then broke that window instead? Yeah, that'd be something.
That'd be three. It'd be three windows.
Three windows, one rock, two birds, one stone. And then we'll go down and we'll pick up the old Kittner boy before the shark can get him, and we'll pick him up and then feed him to the shark.
I'll push Roy Scheider to the side and be like, "You want the shark? I'll throw a lasso around. I'll pull it down for you." I don't need three barrels. I just use my hands.
Yeah. I could pull the whole goddamn moon down. I'll pull in this 25-footer.
Easy does it.
Yeah. I was a war hero. he's organic is what we're getting at. He talks good.
Yeah. Here's a nice fun factoid, just bringing it back to old Donna Reedy, baby. You know that scene when they're in front of that old rickety house and they're going to make a wish and throw a rock and break a window?
Yar.
So they had it set up that Mary would throw the rock, and I guess a sharpshooter would shoot out the window, so it would break.
Mm.
But on the first take, she threw the rock and she hit it and broke it. And several takes after, she just kept hitting it, because she used to play baseball back in the old college days.
Badass.
Yeah.
There are that one scene where she's like lost her robe, and he's like, "This is an interesting opportunity." I'm like, "All right, where's this going?"
It's an interesting situation.
Maybe I'll sell tickets.
Like, yeah,
I wouldn't.
It's a different time.
Yeah, I guess.
In that case, it was the 20s.
Yeah.
Pardon me. Yeah, so I enjoy watching this movie each and every year. There is a charm to it. There's some heart to it. It gets me misty-eyed in the end. It gets
not
me
as misty-eyed as Dragonheart.
No Dragonheart
tears. Your
shirt
wasn't soaked at the end of this one.
Not Dragonheart tears.
We're going in to see Rise of Skywalker, and you're like, over, under. I'm like, Dragonheart tears?
Yeah, rollers.
Yeah.
It was over. pardon me.
Ah.
There's a ghost in here, too.
Mitch!
The movie has heart, and it has some warmth, and it has beautiful life lessons, and things you can relate to and carry with you, not only around the holiday season, but every day of the year. The holiday season. Dickory Dock.
And Santa Claus
whipped out his cock.
All right. Easy
when
there.
Old Santa gets into town.
Well, that's Kurt Russell's Santa.
Yeah. He'll be
guy works
down.
Out all year long, and they call him fat.
I heard they're making a sequel to that.
I hope so, because it was really good. Yeah. I watched most of it this morning, actually.
That's tough.
You want to imagine what this movie would look like without old James Stewart at the helm?
I don't want to, but we'll do it.
But we'll do it.
Give the old try.
So at this portion of the show, this is where we take the film we just watched and we submit it to the factory. That's where we imagine what it would look like if it came out today. Who would direct it? Who would compose? Who would star in this epic motion picture that is It's a Wonderful Life?
Oh, it's epic.
It's epic, and it's gone hot, and it's cool. With that being said, it is the same movie, just imagining new cast, crew, modern booking people. So calm down. Put your pitchforks down. So with that being said, who you want to direct It's a Wonderful Life?
So this movie...
Don't say Jon Favreau, or I'll choke you.
We said this movie has heart. It's
Wes Craven.
Yeah, dig him up. It has heart. It has good life lessons, and the key word to this movie is cozy. When I say King Cozy, who do you think of? Who's the King of Cozy?
Quentin Tarantino.
No.
Dun, 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 dun.
The King of Cozy, Chris Columbus.
You've used him already.
I have not.
Yes, you have.
Not for Christmas season. Not for the holiday picture time on the Brothers Movie Factory. You look at your parchment paper there.
Well,
your hieroglyphics, and you won't find a sentence.
You just keep explaining yourself.
Well, Chris Columbus, the King of the Cozy. He's known his greatest successes have been in his writing. He wrote Goonies, Cozy, Harry Potter. And The Sorcerer's Stone, Cozy, Chamber of Secrets, and Home Alone 1 and 2. Writing and directing, that is. He's kind of fallen into like blockbuster territory, and he's not so great at those. Yes, he was great with the Harry Potter movies, like Percy Jackson and other things. They're successful.
We used him for Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
That was over a year ago, and that movie's cozy, too. Didn't he write that? No, that's John Hughes. Fuck me. So King Cozy himself, Chris Columbus.
So the director I went with has dabbled. I had this vibe at one moment. I had a Back to the Future moment. So I was like, you know who would be great with this? Is Rob Zemeckis. Robert Zemeckis, and the moment that it was is when he is like comes into Pottersville when he, like, because the name of the town is Bedford Falls, yeah. And then he comes, Angel Clarence makes it so he's never been born before, so he comes back into Pottersville, because that's the town is, it's been bought out by Mr. Potter, and thanks.
God, Mr. Potter scared the shit out of me.
He bought your shit. When he comes into town, it reminded me of like when both times, Back to the Future 1 and Back to the Future 2, when he like is just like realizing where he's at, and he's like, it's just kind of like
I see what you're calling
Marty McSuperfly there. It's got that feel. That old Bob Zemeckis would be able to pull it off. You know, Back to the Future films, Forrest Gump.
The man's dabbled in some holidays.
He's dabbled in Christmas movies with The Polar Express and A Christmas Carol. Now, knowing him nowadays, he'd do it in that CGI bullshit. That's kind of creepy, to be honest. I read reviews on Polar Express because I'm not like the biggest fan of it. And I don't think the animation's holding up very well. Mm. And that it was like a lot of like people's negative response, because it was like game changing at the time. But a lot of people's response is like, it looks very waxy and like gross. The Jim Carrey one's pretty good. The Jim Carrey Christmas Carol's
pretty good. Impressive to look at.
Yeah. But old Bob Zemeckis, I think, would do a good job. He's not the king of cozy. Now, Chris Columbus, he did Christmas with the Cranks.
Did he now?
Yeah. You trust that? You trust that? Have you seen Christmas with the Cranks?
No.
It's not good.
I don't want to.
It's not good. Did that. That's his fault.
I'm trying to give it to you here, because I do like Robert Zemeckis. I think it's a more proper choice for It's a Wonderful Life.
We also, as I was glancing back through my book here, we did use him before.
Do you trust that?
I don't. I really don't. We actually used him last year in Christmas season, Bob Zemeckis. Do you know what film?
What movies did we do? Oh, we did not put him for Miracle.
Yes, we did. Really? Oh. Yeah. Our last black and white film we did.
Christmas movie.
Christmas black and white film. I think that was our last black and white.
No. I killed the bus driver.
No.
I don't know.
Ben Helsing had a scene in black and white.
Yeah, so you...
Wolfman Meets Frankenstein in our last one.
That was just 2 months ago.
Choke yourself!
I got good life insurance. I'll go right ahead. Worth more debt.
Bob Zemeckis.
Yeah. Okay. That's our director. I'm saying do it. Don't just stare at me.
Get out of here, Chris.
Don't just look at it, eat it.
Composer. You have one in mind?
No.
Hark the Heralds.
Yeah, it's basically all classic, like.
There's a lot of diegetic sound in it too.
Yeah, what was
scene where he's like getting angry because the $8,000 had been lost? Like, it's just his daughter playing the piano a lot.
It's just Hark the Herald, and Clarence. Like and that was a lot of the music too. It was just like Twinkle Twinkle.
Mm-hmm.
Dun, 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 dun. It wasn't like that, but
that's creepy.
Ba-ding,
stop
ba-ding,
it.
Ba-ding, ba-ding. You have to keep playing like that.
Woo!
Yeah, we'll get Joseph Massara. He's doing music. Yeah. That'll do, Mary.
A lot of singing, random songs.
We'll have that creepy chorus from Rise of Skywalker.
We'll have the slightly racist Asian carolers from It's a Christmas Story.
Yeah, go for it. Haven't heard them in a while.
Do you know what I'm talking about? I know you said you had. Oh my, it's
the fa la 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 la.
Yeah. I just watched that movie. I never actually watched The Christmas Story the whole way through.
Mm-hmm.
It's always bits and pieces on Christmas morning. As I think, like probably 95% of Americans view it. It's a good movie. It's very good. But...
Jesus.
Composers. That's not what we need to look. What about our cast and crew here? Who you want to start? We got George, Mary, Mr. Potter, and Clarence.
Let's go, old Clarence, baby.
Clarence. Who you got for Clarence?
Clarence. Hear me out on this one. He's a good actor. He's known mostly for comedies. He does dramas here and there. I think he would fit this role well. And that's my slightly decent impression of John C. Reilly.
Well, hey, Nancy. Hey, George.
Hey, George. I saw you're going to kill yourself, so I jumped in and saved you.
Go get my wings.
And the little baby Jesus.
I don't know. Whenever I see him in serious films, I'm like, I don't believe you.
That's because you've seen him too many times in, like, Talladega Nights and Step Brothers. But you watch him in, like, What's Eating Gilbert Grape, and you watch him in The Aviator and Boogie Nights.
I want to see him in Boogie Nights.
he's a really good actor. And he's got heart, and he can tickle your funny bone, which Clarence is a comedic character. Who has just an innocent face.
I suppose. I went with an actor that I thought looked like Clarence's character a little
Hulk Hogan.
Closer to. And he's been known to be in some, I don't know, I think you'll agree with me to a degree. He's been in family
agree
movies.
Agree with you to a degree.
To a certain point of view. He's been in a lot of movies. He's a very good actor, and I think he would be able to pull it off, especially with his one specific role, but that's Toby Jones. Dobby himself. Yeah. I don't know if you know him off the top of your head, he looks like.
Yeah, he's in Wrath of the Planet. Oh, that Toby Jones. Yeah, my mistake. Who am I thinking of? I'm thinking of someone else.
He's the bad guy in Winter Soldier. He's like the face of Hydra, basically. Yeah. And he's Dobby the Elf in Harry Potter.
He played Hitchcock.
Yes.
Before, yeah.
He's a very good, actor. And he has done some comedy here and there. He's in the movie Zoo.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Christ.
You
trust this?
Yeah. But he's a British actor. And I think that he would be able to, I was just thinking of him, just him, and the way he acts, but with like a Dobby voice.
All right. I hear it.
George Bailey must not go back home.
George Bailey must not jump off that bridge.
He must not go back to Hogwarts.
And, like, George is looking for him. Like, Clarence! Clarence! George!
He's just sitting there. What was it? Glass? Is that what he gets stabbed with?
Knife.
And
he's, like, dying in George Bailey's arms, and little Clarence is like, no man is a failure who has friends.
Dobby is a free elf.
A free angel.
I have my wings.
Then
he says, George, I love you.
And everyone gathers around. It's like, ooh.
What if we meshed like that? Harry Potter, It's a Wonderful Life, and Charlie Brown's Christmas.
Sounds like a damn monster movie.
It's a Halloween movie, not a Christmas movie.
I'll flip you for it.
All right. John C. Reilly, Toby Jones. Heads, Toby Jones. Tails, John C. Reilly. We got tails. John C. Reilly.
Hey there, Mary.
I'd be terrified.
Where
the fuck you come from?
Zuzu's petals. That's not easy to say.
What about Mr. Potter, the evil bastard himself? Toby Jones.
Yeah, he's mixed around. The evil bastard himself.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Get this. I wish we could have picked this actor. Sadly, he's passed on. But the perfect choice would have been, I can never remember the actor's name. Lebowski, the Big Lebowski himself. But going off of that, I am going to go with Jeff Bridges, man.
Built one of those in the cave.
Think Obadiah Stane, but in a wheelchair, you see, and just as pissed,
just as angry, as always.
Just as trying to take over the world, but instead of with missiles, is money.
We need money. Mrs. Deagle playing
as Mr. Potter. What if you had Daniel Radcliffe play Mr. Potter?
No. No.
He said Henry Potter, and you're like, wait, Harry Potter?
Henry Potter.
Yeah.
My pick was an actor we've never used before. I knew he's a grumpy little bastard in The Hunger Games. And I went with Donald Sutherland.
Donald Sutherland.
He's Kiefer Sutherland's
dad. Yes. Yes. Oh.
yeah, Donald Sutherland. We've never used him before. He was just in Ad Astra. I didn't see Ad Astra. Is he a big part in that?
No. I mean, he's in like the beginning a little bit. He's good in it. Yeah. He nowadays he's known for like Hunger Games, but back in the day, what was he in? I was about to say Lost Boys, but that's the other one.
It's Kiefer.
Yeah, he was in what was that? Is it Prince of Darkness? He's in something spooky.
MASH.
Yeah, that was it. Something spooky.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Maybe that's
Pride
it.
And Prejudice. Italian Job. Space Cowboys. Dirty Damn. Dozen. A Time to Kill. American Haunting. Casanova. JFK. The Eagle. Citizen X. I don't see anything spooky. Astro Boy.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers is probably what I was thinking of.
I suppose. But yeah, Donald Sutherland, he plays President Snow.
Mm-hmm. Snow.
Snow? Snoke? President Snoke? yeah, so Donald Sutherland is my pick. So we'll flip her.
If you want to go up against
Jeff
Bridges,
Crazy
man.
Heart.
Yeah.
Heads, Donald Sutherland, tails, Jeff Bridges. Tales, Jeff Bridges.
This is my movie. Yeah.
I mean, you're just beating me this whole Christmas.
You know what we should have done. Speaking of Ad Astra's, went Tommy Lee Jones. He's just crotchety as fuck.
He is, but I don't know if he has that much energy.
We got work to do.
We need money.
I'm gonna pay you $20,000 a year.
You got that?
Got that?
Yeah.
That's enough.
Will Ferrell as Mr. Potter. Right, Mary.
Mary, Mary.
Mary.
Who do you got for
Maggie
Mary?
Maggie Gyllenhaal. No.
No.
No. No. No. I wanted to get someone who is very charming, very charming actress, hasn't been in much yet in way of, like, a multitude of films, but everything I've seen her in I really enjoyed, and I think that she has that kind of natural charm to her. And that's Daisy Ridley. Rise of Skywalker, Last Jedi,
Murder
on the Orient Express. I think those and Force Awakens. I think those are her four big films to this point.
Mm-hmm.
But she does have like this natural charm to her, and she's very, very she's a really great actress, especially in. We were just at a family gathering, and I was talking to our uncle, and he said how he felt that. Daisy Ridley's performance in The Rise of Skywalker was the best, her best performance by far in that entire series and in the entire trilogy. And I really do believe that as well. I think she did a phenomenal job. And she's shown range, but I think she doesn't need like a lot of range in this role, but I think Daisy Ridley is a proper fit.
Yeah, I do enjoy her performance in that movie, that's for sure. Who am I going with? Because I'm like in between two, and I don't want to make the wrong choice here.
Say both.
Say both at the same time.
Say both. I'll choose. Say both. I'll choose, and then we'll go from there.
Okay. So first up, similar to what you were going off with, or what you were saying here, but I'm gonna go with I'm going to go with Rachel McAdams.
Ah.
Notebook fame, Mean Girls fame, The Vow, damn it, Red Eye, recently in Doctor Strange. But just, I'll go back to The Notebook there. Yes, it's a romance film.
Is that your, like, you're not telling me both, you're just going
The other one was Elizabeth Banks.
Ah.
They're both kind of similar, similar reasons. Both very talented actresses, have that glow about them. Known for like rom-coms nowadays, but I'm gonna go with Rachel McAdams. She was my original choice, and it's very similar to what you were saying about Daisy Ridley. However, my pick has a lot more experience and Yeah. The Notebook.
Ads?
Yes.
Daisy Ridley Tales. Rachel McAdams.
No one's going to be as good as Donna Reed.
Kim Novak might have been. Oh. Holy shit, Mickey. I'm going to die.
Explain what you...
I threw the coin up way too high and I lost it in the air.
Disappeared in the light.
All right. Heads.
Yeah.
Daisy Ridley Tails. Rachel McAdams. Fuck yourself. I thought my pick was much better.
Well, the hand of fate didn't think so.
I guess so. George.
Maybe you get old George Bailey here. Maybe. Yeah. Guys, I'm going with back in the day, Jimmy Stewart was big Hollywood megastar, the everyday man, the Oscar winner. I'm going to go with someone who's not the everyday man, but he can play anybody.
And that's, Daniel Craig.
No, that's Leonardo DiCaprio.
Leo DiCap.
Yeah, he
you have to de-age him a little bit.
Even though he's 40, he can play a teenager. He does it all the time. He just slap a young shirt on the boy. Yeah, I'm going Leo DiCaprio. He
I didn't even try to spell his last name. It is the D-E-C-A-P.
That's the first time we've used him on the podcast, I believe. And he's a chameleon of an actor. He can play it all, whether it's anything from What's Eating Gilbert Grape to The Aviator to Wolf of Wall Street, The Revenant, to Rick fucking Dalton in Once Upon a Time to Monsieur Candy. He's done it all, and he's got the awards to prove it, but... It's the talent and the ability to be the everyman, and he can do it.
Well, let me ask you this, because I had another person in mind, but now I'm kind of roaming to another way. You said The Notebook. How do you think Ryan Gosling would fare in this role? George Bailey, he's kind of – Ryan Gosling, be it he's been, like, sexiest man alive or whatever.
So Jimmy Stewart is.
True. But
of all time.
Ryan Gosling's got this like kind of natural suave to him. He's got a natural coolness to him, but he's also got this like everyman kind of act when he does talk. He's just kind of like, "Hey, I'm Ryan Gosling. It's good to be here.
I'm George Bailey."
Yeah, but I've seen him be more charismatic.
Oh yeah.
Things like that. That seems to be what people are now associating him with more.
So like that guy from Drive from 10 years ago?
Where he didn't talk.
Yeah.
But I feel like that is pretty commonplace now. But I think he might be able to pull this role pretty well.
I love Ryan Gosling. I think he can do it all too. Who was the other choice you had in mind or who you originally were thinking
of? Originally, I was going to go... with someone. I had two originally before I went for Ryan Gosling. excuse me.
Oh, thank you.
I know, I was right in the fucking mic.
Just blew up in my headset.
Oh, shit. Don Knotts is my first pick.
Ew. What the fuck? You're dying, this is happening.
Yeah, Don Knotts is my first pick. Joe Pesci was my second. No, my first pick was actually going to be... What, dog?
We got a guest. Come here.
But my first pick was Matthew McConaughey.
All right.
But we've used him so much, and I didn't really want to use him. And I also did think maybe Daniel Radcliffe in this role as well. But
he's too young.
Yeah, he's a little too young. I mean, they could age him up. He was an old man at the end of Harry Potter.
Don't remind me. I'll get Dragon Hardy.
But yeah, no, I think Ryan Gosling would be a better pick. Heads, Ryan Gosling. Tails, Leo DiCaprio. Yes! Ryan Gosling wins it. That's a good combo, Rachel McAdams, Ryan Gosling. They have the chemistry.
It's a wonderful Notebook too.
Yes. So our It's a Wonderful Life remake, Rob Zemeckis will be directing it. Our Clarence will be played by John C. Reilly. Our Mr. Potter played by the dude, man. Mary played by Rachel McAdams. And George played by Ryan Gosling himself. So that is the remake. Good, hell of a cast there. Before we go, do you have a question?
Do you have a question for me? I always ask the questions here.
Well, it is the Christmas season. This episode should be dropping on Christmas Day
in the morning.
We've talked about Christmas memories. We've talked about all of those things. What, in your mind, Christmas Day, what gift – was your favorite Christmas gift you've ever gotten that you can remember?
Jesus.
Like, I know it's hard because every year you have like one thing that you really want. So I like section mine off. But like, what's the last thing you can remember like growing up that you like really wanted and you got it? Because I know we can think of like the GameCube, which we didn't get. But still, like gifts like that.
Yeah.
N64!
I remember a lot of things.
PS2 and playing SmackDown vs. Raw more all day.
I don't know. I remember little things. I remember getting my first bike. I remember getting My Neighbor Totoro on VHS. Those are important ones.
I didn't know we had that on VHS.
Oh, yeah. I think I watched it and destroyed it before you were born.
You watched it, burned it. Yeah, like, this makes me cry too much.
And, but I don't know if this is cheap, but maybe my favorite gift was one I bought for you and me, and that was last year.
Cheap.
I got WrestleMania tickets.
Indeed. That was pretty good. That's not what I'm getting at, though. I wanted a real moment. Childhood gifts, I guess.
Childhood gifts.
Let's narrow it down to, like, what, 14 and below. Tetris World on the GameCube.
Yeah, I remember getting that.
I don't know why. I always remember getting Tetris World, though. Like, I remember you were sitting in the corner of the L couch when you got Tetris World. Being like, oh, Africa.
I don't remember many.
You don't remember getting the PS2?
Oh, I remember getting the PS2. That's what I'm saying.
Versus Raw
trying to think. Trying to think other ones.
Like,
but
I remember like distinctly the year I got my PSP. You got the Undertaker collection, and you watched the Undertaker collection. Hey, you fell back to sleep. Dad fell back to sleep. Mom went back to bed. I was sitting there playing Twisted Metal on my PSP. Metal head on and Midnight Club, trying to figure out how to play video games.
Yeah, that was important. I mean, this is more like a hindsight one, but another important one. It would have been that same Christmas you're talking about there. We got Lupin the Third, Castle Cagliostro. Well, that's one of my favorites. I still watch. If I need a good sleep, pop that in.
Trying to feel cozy, man.
Yes, indeed.
I that's the thing. Is you think back to the ones like I got all sorts of. I got Xbox 360 one year, and
did you?
I think that was the year. Spoilers: I found out Santa wasn't real. Because I found the Xbox.
Hey, spoiler, Gremlin spoiled it. That's
I
why.
Found the Xbox before Christmas. And that was when I realized that I could find the presents beforehand. I remember getting the DS pretty extensively because I remember like a month before Christmas, I had a dream that I got a DS. And I remember waking up from the dream and being so upset because like I had it. It was in my hands. I woke up and it was gone. PSP was a big one because I remember like mom put it in the she had notes like open this one first, open this one second. So like I opened the first one, it was like a case. Opened the second one was games. The third one was the PSP. And that's something that gets lost with Christmas nowadays. You lose some of that like. You can't wait for Christmas. Like the circling things you wanted in a toy magazine and stuff. The days of.
So now that you're older and you ask for stuff, you feel like an asshole.
Yeah. It's like, I want this. That's $300. I used to ask for more expensive things.
Like, now I'm an asshole.
Yeah. It's like, I only.
You're not a kid anymore, boy.
I turned my Amazon wish list. I just changed the name. That's all I did. I changed it to Ben's Christmas List. That was all I did. And my wife's like, why do you want so many things? I'm like, those things have been on there for years. It's just on there. I want them all.
They're ideas.
Yeah. I just put them on there. And I was like, the newest thing on there is from like 3 months ago. That's how it goes down. Yeah, it's just different. But yeah, no, I remember a lot of those. I remember getting one year I got Imaginex, like Castle, and I think it was Imaginex Castle, and I built it by the fireplace, and you and Dad were gonna watch a movie or something, and you moved it, and it fell apart when you were moving it.
Oh, yeah.
You recall this?
I couldn't remember if we just moved it and it broke, or I was fucking around with it, and I built just something else.
I can't remember. Maybe both.
You're pissed either way.
I was angry because it took me a long time.
I don't think you ever rebuilt it.
I didn't. Those are really cool toys, though. Mm-hmm. Imagine X.
I remember a good one, too. I remember getting the Fisher-Price Castle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember getting that and placing the stickers on it during Christmas Eve.
What's so funny, I don't know if you ever had this, but I remember getting this feeling all the time. You open all your presents Christmas Day, and obviously there's so many presents, you open everything, and then it's like either later that Christmas Day or the next day, you like look under the tree and you're like, what happened? Like, where'd all the shit go? It's all gone.
You are an ungrateful bitch.
You ever get that though? Like you like look under the tree and you'd be like, I had a lot of stuff yesterday. Where's it all at? You like moved it all.
Yeah.
I remember getting my first like football for Christmas. I got football, a kicking tee, and a pump. Mm-hmm. I remember a lot of those like little gifts.
Was it last year or the year before? I wanted you to like revisit some of your youth, so I bought you like a Star Wars Lego set.
2 years ago.
2 years ago?
2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I built that shit.
Yeah, I just saw
it. It was a Grievous? Grievous one?
No, it was Phantom Menace.
Phantom Menace, yeah. The dual face that you can like fire Obi-Wan out of it. Yeah. I have that in my Star Wars shelf at home. Christmas, yeah, it's funny because like, these are memories from when we were wee. Like I remember getting Winnie the Pooh's Honey Hunt.
That game fucks.
It does. It was like a mini game with like a stick racing down the river. Yeah,
that's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's tons. I'm getting little rescuers.
Getting N64. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the Rescue Heroes.
Rescue Heroes. Yeah. Getting the big boat.
Yeah.
Like cruiser. Got the tower, the fire tower, and yeah, all that shit. That was big stuff. So, yeah, no, it's Christmas has this nostalgia feel, and I hope everyone has a merry old Christmas. So that does it out for the podcast. I hope you enjoyed what you heard. Hope you're having a merry Christmas. If you liked what you heard, be sure to check us out on Audioboom if you haven't already. That is our primary site. That is where we post the podcast first, and then they subsequently ship it out everywhere else, to Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, wherever you get your podcast, we're there. You can also find us on Twitter. We are at the Bros Movie Pod. That's what we'll be posting. When a new show comes out, we'll let you know when we're going to be posting the episodes, etc. We'll also post clips every now and again and memes that Gus makes of the movies and or show in question. You can also find us at Facebook.
Thank you. You looked lost.
I said at Facebook and I meant to say on Facebook.
Hey, at on don't matter none.
Yeah,
because we are there. If you type in the Brothers
Movie, we're there.
On Facebook, like us, share us, follow along as I post what we're watching each and every week, as well as memes to go along with it, and links to what Ben mentioned: Spotify, Twitter, Audioboom, and at.
Indeed. So that is the show. We hope you enjoyed it. Hope everyone had a merry Christmas, a holly jolly Christmas. And until next week, brothers.
Brothers.
Brothers.